Hi, Cameron.
Hello.
Camera's gonna go downstairs and make sure nobody's in the room from yesterday, so I'll be back in just 2 minutes or something.
All right, I'll stand guard on your laptop then.
Okay, please don't let anybody steal it. Thanks.
No, that's not, yes, I'll open the door. We have, there's a breaker, but it's not likely that's what you popped. We have a switch with a, whatever you call it.
GFI.
And that's buried in the crawl space.
Oh, no.
No, it's okay. I don't know why they did that, but at any rate, it'll take me about 10 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's right. But I have to pop, I mean, I have to have the thing running, so.
Yeah.
So it's the sockets on the back wall?
Yeah. Is there any other sockets to keep running so we're not drying everything up and floating?
Well, yeah, you could come out to here.
Okay. Yeah, you might do that to run the saws because the compressors and saws at the same time.
Yeah.
You got power?
Yeah.
Oh.
From somewhere else?
Maybe we're okay.
Okay. I'll come back and let you know.
Once you find the right page.
Yes.
And, you know, work up the courage to actually do it.
Yeah. Yeah, because it does sort of say, don't do this unless you know how to do it. Anyway.
Cameron, you're froze mid-laugh.
That's slightly disturbing.
Now you've reawakened. Okay. Let's see. Oh. Just got your message.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if Matthew knows that we're up here, and same for Emil. I forgot to say it yesterday when we were ending up. It's 9 o'clock, huh? Looks like Larry's there too. Hi, Larry.
Thanks.
I'd like to wait just a little bit until Matthew and Emil show up. If people have Cameron and Larry, I know it's a nice time for you. If you need to go soon, just let me know.
Can you see my chat?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Did you see my chat?
No. I'll just open up my computer. This is gonna echo, I think. Sorry. Sorry about that. Chat. Oh, Larry's gone. Cameron, had Larry sent a chat message?
Yeah, he did. If you can't see it, I can read it out.
Yeah, I can't see it, so for some reason.
Okay, so yeah. Larry sent, I may be in and out. We are having our roof replaced and it's chaos.
Okay.
And he also said, I just put a comment on Slack RE, my anomalies and Brian's findings, which is all I have to report from the last 24 hours.
Okay, that's fine. I think Emil might be downstairs. Let me just send a quick email. Emil and Matthew Elker, there he is. In boardroom. Okay. Good. Yeah, so I've been trying to... Oof, that was quite loud. Just trying to catch up on what's in the Slack, actually. All right. Well, why don't we get started anyway? I probably didn't do very much yesterday, actually. I mean, yeah. I did some stuff in the morning, but I think in the afternoon I didn't have much time to continue. I think today there's been a little bit of email traffic with Julie Banfield about the RAX processing, how best to do the imaging within the ASCAPSoft pipeline. I think I'll try this morning to make some suggestions about how to set up the parset for that, so we can get some broadband images out as part of the standard processing. So I think that's what I'm gonna work on today. Do you have any updates, Andrew?
No, apart from I ran a GN on the full field Mosaics, from the RAX test 2 field last night, and we'll produce the leakage maps for those today. I can do that this morning, so that's my plan. Mm. The other plan I had for today was to check the rates we expect for sort of transient events in Possum and RAX in Stokes B. So I wanted to get that done today as well.
Mm. Good, that sounds good.
Yep.
I think, we also probably want to have it occurred to me this morning, we want to probably have a histogram from the V and I mosaics, a histogram of what the typical leakage values are.
Yep, yeah.
So that, you know, once mosaics are made, we can identify, you know,
what's significant.
Exactly, yep. That's it, yeah. Okay, good. Cameron, anything from you?
A little bit, so I... finished up the work that I was doing on my code to chunk up large image cubes into digestible RM synthesis sized portions. And it seems to run. I had some issues where it was writing to disk very slowly, which I solved, and it's now reasonably efficient, I think. The code that divides up the chunks never has to read the entire cube into memory, so it's fairly efficient that way.
Right.
I wasn't able to do that successfully on the reassembly side.
Sure.
AstroPy fits is not as flexible as to allow that. And so unfortunately it does have to read the entire cube during the reassembly process, stick it in memory or into virtual memory, and then save it to a dedicated file. So that's a bit slower. But
didn't Alec have a problem like this yesterday as well?
Mm-hmm.
For a different reason?
Yeah.
Do you remember how you got around it?
No.
Alec Thompson had an issue related to this yesterday. So you might ask him if he managed to get around it. I don't think he did, actually.
Mm.
But you could ask him if he found any tricks.
Yeah, I don't think there's an easy solution short of actually going in and editing the actual white screens.
Yeah,
right.
Which that's is what a little.
That's what Alec was saying.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit frightening from my perspective, so I'm not brave enough to actually try it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that reminds me, that's what Matthew said, actually, was why don't you dig into the guts of Astro Pi? And Alec was like, oh, I don't think so.
So, I don't know. It seems to work okay. It's just a matter of leaving the total file size at sort of a digestible level as well there. So,
okay.
I mean, it does run using swap memory or virtual memory fine as well. It just takes a little longer.
And was this extracting portions of the RM cube or the frequency cube? Sorry, I've forgotten.
Either. It's designed to work on both. Just to Yeah. So I've written it so it'll basically take in any 3D cube. Or technically speaking, it'll also work on a 2D image, but that's kind of pointless. So
I suppose so, yeah.
But the code...
I was just going to say, it could be useful to have an option there, which, you know, if you're working on a frequency cube and you want to take out a portion, it could be useful to return it as frequency RI DEC. To facilitate if you were going to use the cube to then go into cuffs, for instance, where it wants it frequency first.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't be too tricky to add, I suppose.
The transpose operation was apparently difficult earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
So, just a thought. If it's easy while you're in there, you might as well add an option like that.
Yeah, I can take a look at that. I'll make a note to myself. So, yeah, so that is working. I've sent that to Alec to see if he has time to play with that. And sort of as a side thing, I wrote a little script that just does kind of a square cutout because the chunking code tends to break it up into weirdly shaped stripes. Just because I thought that was more efficient from a disassembly and reassembly perspective. But I basically took that basis and changed it to just cut out square shaped blobs, which I think is a very standard function to do cutouts of FITS files. There's probably 100 like it. This one is mine. all the other solutions that I'm aware of all have external dependencies, and I wanted something that had no dependencies.
I see, right.
Yeah, beyond AstroPy, which I already have.
Right.
RM tools.
Right. I would only wonder if there's one as part of the WCS tools package, which I think is standalone. As an executable. I'm not sure if there's a cutout function in there, but it probably wouldn't work on cubes, I suspect.
Yeah, that's the other thing. So.
Yeah.
That was kind of my goal, is have something that can cut out cubes in three dimensions and also just cut out frequency planes if you're inclined that way. So.
Right, cool.
So that also seems to work. So I think all of this will probably get implemented as utilities inside RM tools as soon as I've had a chance to just sort of check a few kind of test cases that I haven't looked at yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
On the topic of RM tools, would it be possible to get a setup.py script in it so that we can pip install it or locally pip install it?
It's probably possible. I've not looked at that.
I can send you one if that would help.
Yeah, that would definitely be welcome, I think.
Cool. I'll send a pull request letter today then.
Yeah, that'd be good. And if you have any other RM tools requests, just email me or put them on GitHub or something. So.
Sure. Is it the Serata repository?
Yeah. Yeah.
Serata slash RM or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Cool. Slash can do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a new one. So yeah, just yeah, anything RM tools related, just you know, throw a question, comment, request on there. I'm happy to spend time adding functionality to that. That's what they, that's what Brian's paying me for to a large degree now. and you know, until I have data to play with, that's what I'm spending most of my time on. Yeah, that's all I have to report, I think.
Okay, good. Thank you, Cameron. I saw that Larry rejoined, but I know, Cameron, you said that there was a message. Larry, I'm not sure if you want to repeat it.
Can you hear me?
Slightly, yep.
Okay, I'll try to get closer to the mic. Okay, so I've been working on sources in the G23 Beam 20 field just because that was the first one that I grabbed. And I've done four sources, and all four of them are either complex or extremely unusual in terms of their polarization characteristics versus lambda squared. And that seems kind of crazy because Brian has 13 sources now from RAX, and they all look good and simple. So the question is, do we know anything? I mean, what I can do is I can continue to do more sources in G23, but if we know for some reason that the polarization is screwed up there, then that's really a waste of time. So does anybody know if there's something?
I don't think there's any reason to expect that G23 is messed up for any particular reason.
Okay, well then I'll go ahead and do a bunch more sources, but I think by the time it gets to, you know, I know another few that look unreasonable, then I'm going to conclude that there's something funny there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, do you know? Have you looked through the cube visually, like plane by plane? Because I think in the way I understand the processing went for that field, the only thing that could possibly have gone wrong is if some of the channels weren't deconvolved very well.
No, I mean, the behavior is smooth, but it's not like a problem with individual channels. I'm not trying to do RM synthesis, I'm just looking at QNU versus lambda squared. So the trends are smooth, so that doesn't look like the problem.
Okay.
Okay, I'll keep checking stuff out.
All right, and we'll take a look at the plots here today as well, and send you any feedback if we have any. Thank you, Larry. Matthew, any updates from you?
I don't think so. I woke up very recently, so I'm just. I put some plots in the channel last night. Yes, I remember now.
I did see that.
Yes. The agreement with NVSS peak fluxes is not great. This is just for total intensity. I don't even necessarily blame Aegean for that, though. There's a couple of things that aren't instrumental that would also explain it, like NVSS has lower resolution and things like that. So I expect NVSS flux to be a little higher than RAX. Oh, that line is the adjusted one for the frequency difference as well.
For a typical spectral index?
Yes, okay. 0.7. Don't know about the big spread.
Excuse me, where is this plot?
It's the first one in the Slack that I posted last night. You commented on it, I think, but I think you misinterpreted what it was.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, I'm still really confused about why NVSS and FIRST have like discrete flux values.
Is that just from the catalog?
Yeah. The NVSS and FIRST catalogs have really discretized flux values.
Just rounding?
I don't think it's just rounding. Like it's quite a big jump. Like, you can see it really clearly on that plot. It's not particularly even either.
Yeah.
And I've got a very similar plot for first that does that. I did plot polarized flux against MVSS polarized flux, but I didn't bother putting it in the Slack because it looked so funky. It's just kind of uncorrelated. And I don't know if that's a G, and it probably shouldn't be, given that I plotted the peak polarized flux, or if something else is going on there.
Yeah,
so
some spot checks, I guess.
Definitely, so I'll try and dig into some specific sources and just eyeball them directly. Everything lined up really nicely, though. The NVSS sources and rack sources overlap to very, very, very small fractions of arc seconds. So that's largely what I did yesterday.
It's good.
Aside from poking at Craig's spectra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder. So these NVSS peak flux values, these are directly out of the
straight out of the catalog. That way I didn't have to think.
The quantization is in the NVSS values, not the
yes.
rack values. So it's nothing to do with the GN. That's just purely whatever's in the catalog.
Yeah, and first has it too. I had some preliminary plots for my in submission paper. That has the same discretization, so I'm a little confused about that.
Yeah.
I know I've never managed to solve it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not everything in racks does show up in NVSS, and that second plot there is a histogram. Left is the... sorry, I didn't label the axes. But on the left one, it's the modal intensity matches. So I did the matching and source finding in I and in P for every beam I could get my hands on in the BW5 folder. And I expected that the things that didn't show up in NVSS would be low brightness, and they are lower brightness, but they're not lowest brightness. Like, there's some clear overlap. Although I'm not actually sure what the completeness level is for VSS.
Yeah, there's going to be some completeness curve for both surveys here.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know.
But still, it's fairly high overlap, I actually think. For polarization, it was very similar. That's the second plot, but the distribution is super funky of the fluxes in polarization. And again, that should be peak fluxes because I they're more reliable.
So blue is NVSS.
Has NVSS matches. Orange is does not have NVSS matches.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, and that was with a really, really liberal cutoff of 60 arc seconds.
Yeah, that's probably about right for comparing to NVSS, I guess.
Yeah, you get about 3 side lumps there.
Yeah.
And they show up really obviously if you look at the separation plot.
Mm. Oh. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, which I showed yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was doing. Today I'm going to send that pull request and probably look at some particular bright sources in the field. But to complement what Brian's doing, I'm trying to look at lots of them rather than specific ones. So I'll be focusing more towards that.
Okay, that sounds good. Right. Oh.
It looks like Emil came in. Can we ask him the question about whether G23 has anything odd with polarization?
Yep. Do you know what
you can ask me? I don't know if I can answer it. Sorry, in what respect?
So in the Slack channel, Larry's plotted some... I'll see if I can put it up on the screen.
I wasn't actually involved in the processing of that data, so...
Indeed.
Let me say.
But it would be useful to look at it anyway. Oh, my backpack's downstairs. Larry, can you share your screen on the system you're on?
I'll give it a shot. Hold on.
Yeah. All right. Just to look at the spectrum. There's a few sources. I'll narrate while you're doing that, Larry. There's a few sources with strange spectra. Indeed.
Is this in pre?
You just went past it, I think, Larry. There it is.
Well, yeah. So this is one source, and this is fractional polarization going from 19% down to 6%, and crazy Q and U. I mean, obviously these don't look this simple, so it could be all could be some kind of garbage. But the point is, it's now 4 out of 4 from the G23 field that have odd behavior, and the other ones are up here. There we go. So this is just polarized flux versus lambda or polarized fraction percentage versus lambda squared. And here's another one that goes from 25 down to 5, and then others that are not monotonic. So these things can happen with real sources. It's just surprising that I got 4 out of 4 and Brian's sources look so simple from racks.
So these are all in single beams, or are they?
Single beams, beam 20 from G23.
And are they within the half power joint?
That's a fractional P over I, right? So any primary beam effect is divided out, right?
Correct, it's P over I.
Not necessarily, because your X and Y are different.
Wow. Okay, but it's divided out in the same way that, you know, a mosaic Q and U.
It's just that you won't include that in a mosaic if it's outside of the
Fair enough.
That's an interesting question. If the X and Y beams are not the same,
They're definitely not.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely not. We know that for sure.
Oh, so you said beam 20, Larry, is that right?
Correct.
I think beam 20 is at the edge of the path, isn't it? Corner, actually.
So. Let me just... I need to look up what G23 was.
Yeah. While he's doing that, I'll just mention, for the rack's footprint anyway, 20 is way out at the edge of the path.
Because it depends.
And that's where X and Y would be most different in the beams.
Okay.
Right? It depends on the footprint, though.
Yeah. But it's worth saying that when we do the Q and U mosaics, that won't get fit. I mean, you still use just a symmetric Gaussian for the Q and U mosaicing process.
Yes, but you don't go out. That's what I was asking, where that source is within the beam. Because if it's in an outlier, sorry, outside source, then you get really weird spectral things happening depending on where the null is, and it just goes crazy.
Yeah, it's about... These were about, I don't know, halfway to two-thirds of the way out to the edge. I didn't even look at how big the field was.
Mm. All right, so this is square 6 by 6.
Square 6 by 6.
So that means it does have... Just check.
I think if I remember right, the 20, images are using...
Yeah, 20 right at in the
corner.
Top corner.
Yeah. I remember that because it was 20 that had in the Stokes V leakage map.
Yeah.
It was 20 was one of the worst ones typically for V leakage. So actually that could be quite relevant, Larry. If you're gonna look at more sources, maybe look at a beam with a low number, you know, somewhere between 0 and 4, let's say.
As you can tell, we got construction going on here, so I didn't hear any of that. But it sounds to me like things are suspicious enough that it's not worth continuing to work. Is that a fair? I mean, it looks like I'm just chasing what could easily be instrumental.
Yeah, so I think if you're going to look at more sources, I think it's probably more useful to look at a low beam number, maybe 0, 1, 2, 3, one of those beams, because they're in the middle of the path. And the purpose there would just be to make sure that you don't have this systematic weirdness in those beams. And try to keep towards the middle of the images as well.
Okay, I'll do those things. G23 is deeper than racks, is that right?
That's right.
Much deeper.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it would be worth pushing and seeing what I can get, but I will stick with the low beams and towards the center of the field.
Perfect. Yeah, that's great. Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. Okay. Thanks a lot, Larry.
Yeah, I'm going to get off now because things are just getting crazy here.
Okay, good luck. Bye. All right. Good, I think we're probably okay then for now. We're going to talk about the racks thing, are we? Oh, sorry, the Julie Benfield thread.
Oh, yeah, actually, I'm just checking because she sent me a message and now I can't remember where she sent it. Because I moved away from the... Oh, okay. Yes. I don't know if they wanted to chat about Stokes V, she raised it by email.
I didn't realize that they were after the...
It's So my understanding is that the issue is more just that the current pipeline doesn't pass that information through to the actual ASCAPsoft software. So it's probably a trivial thing to add. It's just probably out of Julie's hands at the moment because she just runs the pipeline, doesn't actually develop it. So it'd be someone like Wasim or Matt that would probably have to include that passing on of the request to do different polarization through.
So I'm just writing to them and giving connection details for this in case they want to call in.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that it sounds like from you the connection needs to be made at the SDK level, really, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that right?
Oh,
and that's what Ace was saying too. Oh, hi. Actually, we're just about to send you an email with connection details.
Sorry, I'm here.
Okay, good. Well, anyway, I'll send this email anyway, so that'll be redundant. There you go, Julie.
Thanks.
So I was basically just saying that I think the issue at the moment is more that there isn't this connection between the pipeline and ASCAPsoft to actually say, I want to be able to do Q, U, and V just as continuum. It just seems to want to do cubes.
Yeah, so the ASCAP pipeline, yes, we'll only do one or the other. We'll only do a Stokes I or a cube. They're aware of this, and in the process of implementing the capability of doing, adding Q, U, and V to that, you don't have to do a cube. I don't know where they are with that in the implementation into the ASCAP soft pipeline. So that could be the next update. That could be the next update in 6 months. That could be no idea.
It's a mystery.
However, if you know the ASCAP soft pipeline well enough, which obviously I don't, you can create your own QUV images, provided you know how to create the parset files to make the image. And it's just a matter of adding in, which is what I thought, CImager_polarizations, and you can do IQUV. You just add it in there. And then it should be able to output the image that you require. But because the pipeline creates an image for each beam, then mosaics the beams together, you need to do that 36 times, and then it needs to be implemented into the mosaic. And then that needs to be done for each field. So in theory, if you know how to create the parset file to do that loop, then in theory, you should be able to put that into the RAX pipeline after the Stokes I imaging has been completed.
Mm.
So those are your two options. So I don't know how long it will take to write the script, and I don't know how long it will take to for ASCAPsoft pipeline to implement the changes. So the question is what's worth your time, waiting for the change or creating the script to do it? So that's where it stands. I attempted to try to do it, but I recreated I instead of V, even though I put in V and then I don't know what I'm doing. Obviously, I don't know what I'm doing. So the code was beyond my knowledge base and yeah. So I have 4 weeks left and I could dedicate my time to doing that, but then that sets RAX back. So...
Yeah.
In my email, I had mentioned I can put in like a comment block that says polarization goes in here. Once you have your leakage correction scripts, once you have your imaging scripts and all that, and it should just be able to run. in theory. That's my goal. So that's where it stands.
All right.
So unless there's some guru who can create this script in, I don't know, an hour's worth of time, takes me an hour to implement it into the pipeline, then we're go for launch. But
I might check, Wasim and myself will be in Canberra next week, so I might see if I can chat with Wasim to see if we can do this easily.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine it's a major change. It should be relatively simple.
Compared to
if you know what you're doing, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'd be doing because I'm not familiar with that.
What is the Zoom next week?
It's more sort of lower level stuff, trying to get SEFDs working correctly with 1 megahertz channels. So for some reason, when we measure the SEFD on the online average data, we just get crazy results that we don't quite understand. So I just want to clear that up to work out whether it's something to do with the online averaging, something to do with the SEFD software, or it's more just a focus to try and get that done.
Sure. Okay.
In essence, or in the change to the asset caps off pipeline, like Emma said, should just be a relatively quick. You just have to add in a line that says to reference this to input into the parset. There might be something more complicated. So it might just be worth the time to wait for them to implement it in.
Yeah. The good thing is there's other things we can do to speed up the processing too, because you don't have to create such a large image, because if you're not deconvolving, then, you know, regardless of whether you have a bright outside source or not, you know, it's not going to make any difference if you make the image larger to include it.
Yep. Yeah, they're only large at the moment, I guess, to get the first side load of the beam.
Exactly.
So, yeah, okay.
So there's lots of shortcuts you can do to speed up the processing.
Lovely. Good. Okay.
Sorry, I tried. I thought it was simple, like in CASA, where you just type in I, V, but apparently not. So
somehow nothing's that easy with ASCAP.
I was like, oh, well, CASA can do it. ASCAP should be able to do it. And no, apparently not.
Okay. No, that's no worries. Okay. Well, I think Boston's going to be here later this morning, actually. So maybe we can already talk about it a little bit today.
Yeah.
And then that'll take away from your focus next week. Okay, well, if we learn anything here discussing with Boston, we'll let you know, Julie, of course.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. And I just put it in or whatever. Like I said, it could just be something very simple. I just don't know.
It's hard to know. It's a black box in many ways, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You can fall down that rabbit hole and never come back.
Right. Yeah, in fact, I haven't seen Matt Whiting in a long time.
So, Emma, are you here for the whole week next week?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Then I will see you next week.
So you also based at Stromlo?
I'm a, what is it? A nomad? I'm everywhere but nowhere at once.
It's very deep and.
No, I'm preparing for my new job. Right, I have to be not. Yeah, can't tell you much. No, so I've got Stromlo / Black Mountain / ANU / my house.
Right.
So,
not all at the same time.
But not all at the same time, that's correct. Yes. So I'll be wherever I need to be next week.
Excellent. Hopefully we'll see you next week.
Yes, okay. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Julie. Yeah, bye.
Bye.
Okay, so I think we probably are just going to wrap up the conversation then and get into work. Anything else from you, Cameron?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, good. In that case, thanks for connecting every day, Cameron. That was much appreciated.
Yeah, no problem.
And I guess we'll just get to work. We will not be connecting tomorrow morning, Cameron.
Yeah, I figured. I wish all you guys a good weekend. And I guess, George, am I going to see you in Newcastle in 2 weeks?
You will, yeah.
All right, I'll chat with you there then.
Awesome, sounds very good.
All right.
Have a good night, Cameron.
Ciao.
Ciao, see you later.
See if this is Newcastle in the north coast.
Yes, not Newcastle, just here. It's Newcastle in the buck. Yep.
I think I've got this pull request about done.
Yep. Let the games begin. We're going to do the rest of the day. Good.
So I was thinking it might actually be interesting. Presumably, must have been observed. My exclamation mark source.
Oh, yeah.
Should just grab the field that just observed.
That sounds cool. You should do that.
That's a very good idea.
Because we know exactly what the RM of that is.
Yeah, towards the end.
Some crazy version.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised by Brian's results, too, because nothing agrees with anything.
I don't know.
To within the errors.
Yeah, the thing is, the NBSS RMs are a bit shit, really, aren't they?
But even the ASCAP ones don't agree with the NBSS. NBSS doesn't agree with, what was it, S-Pass? Just, I mean, I don't know, presumably none of those take into consideration the ionosphere, but I wouldn't have thought that would have affected much.
I suppose it was a couple, right? Not tens.
Yeah. So it's interesting that there's such a big difference.
Yeah.
I mean, you may get some.
Oh, it's a different band as well, right?
Yeah, so.
That's what you're just going to say, isn't it? Yeah,
and different resolution.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the higher end of the band, presumably it's different. So you may be smudging over some of the.
Smudge.
Oh, this is going to be the greatest
there is
of
all time.
That's a factor of 3 in lambda squared or something like that, right? Difference in lambda squared. So.
Yeah.
It's a big change. Especially since the NBSS ones are just 2-point RMs.
Yeah, it's not so much the NBSS ones that concern me, it was more the difference between S-Pass and...
Oh, sorry.
So they're compact array ones, I assume. They're not actual S-Pass ones.
Right, so no, they're compact array for a while. Yeah. What we probably haven't done is compare RMs between two different observations of the same field with ASCAP.
Or compact array.
Or that. But like if you observe the same field twice with ASCAP, do the RMs line up or not?
Yeah.
Oh dear.
It's not necessarily the case, I would say.
Yeah.
In the same beam and in different beams as well, I guess you'd want to check.
Yeah. Well, there's these two racks observations, test ones with the different pitch values, right?
Yeah.
They cover the same area. So one thing to do would be to derive RMs from both of those and compare them. Because
the
beams will line up
as well.
Point to point, right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So yeah, effectively have four observations.
Four variations.
Sources.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of variations, we didn't complete the circle, I think, in this business of the linkage maps yet.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
What I still would like to do is cross match the per beam values to the lizard values.
Yes.
And see what the before and after.
Yes.
Linkage values look like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's something we can tackle together at some point today.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I should make a mosaic for the A only interleave. And source find that as well. Good to think of it.
Yeah, compare with B. Yeah.
I think the one that we're currently working on is A plus B, everything all mosaic together. So I would suggest we do either A only or B only and compare that to the A plus B.
Yeah.
That answers one of the questions.
At a hotel, tried to call me to ask me what time I'm going to get to. Do you really care?
Yeah.
Isn't it like, did you have reception?
Where are you staying with the knee house? No.
It's the university house.
Oh,
I
its own campus or something, isn't it?
Wait, which one's this? Which uni?
And you.
Oh, coming up my way.
Yes.
Nice.
Weren't you paying attention?
No, I was focusing on my pull request. Right. Uni house is nice enough as long as you're not on the top floor next to the boiler.
If you arrive late, you'll be next to the boiler.
Yeah, maybe that's why that
Fellow's bar is cheap, but not very tasty.
I've been here before. It's just weird why this is the first time that they call me to ask.
That is weird.
When I'm getting there. Yes.
Maybe they're expecting you now and they're just really antsy about it.
No.
They're really keen.
We're expecting you on Sunday. What time?
You've been to ANU since the new development?
Sorry?
Have you been there since the new development's opened?
I don't know. It's the new development.
The whole center campus. They knocked it down and rebuilt it.
Oh.
For some reason. Anyway, there's a new bar and like six new restaurants and about four new cafes.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're all pretty decent. If you want $10 kebab, there's one place that does that. Or Badger & Co. actually has pretty nice burgers. Would recommend. And nice beers on tap.
I think it was there last year. So about a year ago.
Yeah, it wasn't open then.
So they pulled it down and rebuilt it?
Yeah, you wouldn't notice it was construction everywhere if you went anywhere near the center.
I saw that they were putting in like tram lines or train lines. Or
that was in that was in the center of the city, but they were also doing that in the middle of campus.
Oh, gosh.
It was terrible.
So it's all done now?
Yeah, it's all done.
Not terrible?
It's all done, yeah. You can walk straight across from Uni House to my office, actually, which you couldn't do before. I, like Julie, have two offices, and they're everywhere.
Let's try to call this place. Just know that I will be arriving at some time.
I better get the trick out before they get mad at me. Are the coffee machines back up yet? Probably.
Don't know.
Sneakily go find out. Hopefully they'll let me keep my coffee card even though I'm returning the key.
Oh, you probably can, yeah.
Yeah, I'll ask.
Right. Is it just because they closed the desk at a certain time?
Yeah, they closed at 7. We better be in way before that.
I said to Charlotte that I didn't get a talk at the ASA, which is quite a relief. And she said, I did get a talk at the ASA, which is not a relief.
There's someone there, but I can't say I didn't try. And the coffee machine is not yet fixed.
Yeah.
I'll be heading back down in 15 minutes.
Were you saying the coffee machine is not fixed?
Not fixed.
Oh my goodness.
It's been out since 9.
Whoa!
The one downstairs?
Yeah.
The monolith.
Yeah, there's a huge thing, has no milk. I don't know where the milk went, but it's not there.
The one where you walk up to it, you hear it also spray Zarathustra. Like.
Chips throwing bones in the air.
Yes, oh yeah.
I'm going to do something naive on all of these sources and run RM synthesis on all of them, and then just kind of eyeball them. Because I mean, if it fails, it's pretty obvious. Usually, you get a wiggly line that doesn't look like anything.
Okay.
I know this because I've tried.
Let's just see.
Well, maybe I could run QU fitting on the wall instead. That might work better.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, all of the spectrum.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I've got all of them, so I don't yet, but I will pull them all out.
Right. It's probably good to do one or two first and understand them before you go full hog.
I already did that the other day.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you understand them?
Vaguely. Okay. Understand them enough to proceed.
Is it a bit like quantum mechanics?
Something like that.
If you want to understand it.
Yeah.
Then you obviously don't understand it.
Well, what I will do first, before I do anything else, is try and get the spectra across to a computer that won't go away immediately when it decides to. And then I will apple a few spectra, and then I will run it on all 15,000. That's my money.
So somewhere. Right. This is the one. Emil, you're a very helpful man. There's this post in here, in the Slack, that tells me what the names of the fields were per beam, per field for the rocks data. Which is going to be useful to distinguish A and B interleaved from each other.
Found my exclamation marks, or at least I found which SPID my exclamation mark source is in.
Mm. What's the RA range?
RA range.
Well, I mean, what's the RA? Sorry.
Oh, 0636.
Okay. The reason I was asking the range, the reason I said the word range was because I was wondering if it overlapped with the test range that we've been looking at before, but it doesn't because that's more like 20 hours or something.
Yeah, I think it's 3/4 out of that. I think I would have noticed it if it was in there.
Yeah, probably.
It's fairly distinctive.
Yeah.
Even at high frequencies.
Let's see.
This thing's come up in three beams of that same field.
So it's at the intersection of beams, eh?
That's probably a bad thing.
Or good for characterization.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, so luckily. It looks like we're quite lucky with the AB interleave situation, that it really is just even numbers are A and odd numbers are B.
Oh, okay.
Thank goodness. As So it's going to have to make some kind of horrible symbolic link situation.
Bookkeeping hell.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's why I ended up renaming them at one stage, because I had a script which just renamed all the files.
Mm.
I actually ended up copying them just in case if I messed up, I didn't want to lose the originals.
Yeah.
And then I could just do star A
right.
or star B to, to do everything I needed to do on a particular interlude.
I think I might just do symlinks, actually. I can make it.
Actually, that would have been, a smarter thing to do.
Well, I wouldn't say that anymore, but that's right. I do realize I'm being quite an asshole right now.
Business as usual.
Yeah. Can't turn it off, can you? Well, you could stuff something in there, I guess.
Tries to shoot you if you try to unplug it. It's a self-defense mechanism.
It's like a portal.
Really wish that cube cutting thing Cameron was talking about already existed. Oof.
Oh yeah. Where like the guy's like legs.
Yeah. It was so funny because at some point, because especially using the one, you start off going like this, and then you're like this one. Why isn't he moving? Oh no! You think you're going really fast, but actually you're not even lifting your finger. Oh, good old days. They just don't make games like this.
Good. My cursor's gone away. What was that?
Did you curse it?
I can't. I might have.
You scared it away with all your vigorous
reset. Yeah, there it is.
Or maybe it's just like your entire computer is just Vim now.
Yeah, I am Vim.
Oh, I had like a Firefox add-on that let you do that. It was interesting.
Yeah.
Do symbolic links take up any space?
Because you'd like F to follow a link and
yeah.
then type in the number of the link on the page, or the letter of the link on the page. Ooh. Kind of fun though. Very fast.
face.
It's so good.
Sorry, Dave.
Hello, computer.
That's so upsetting.
In this boardroom today.
Realized why I had calibration data for that observation where 636 is in,
mm-hmm.
because that's where the moon was.
Oh.
It wouldn't be ironic if the moon just happened to be.
That would be hilarious.
cosmic censorship.
Yeah.
Why did I not see the exclamation mark?
Then you'd know that the universe really hates you.
Yeah.
Playing that for a long time. Curses.
If only the moon was heavy enough, you could just see right around it.
Oh, hang on a second. I'm really stupid. Sweet. What an idiot.
Tired is the idea of actually having command line arguments. Instead, what you should do is just use sed to find and replace the variables in every file that you're running on in part of your loop.
Mm. Good.
It's extremely good. I recommend it.
Mm.
Too. It's a really busy field.
Wow.
I just realized that I've actually processed it twice.
That shouldn't be anywhere near as funny as it is. I'm going to go see if the people are back and also the coffee. I'd really like to check out.
Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 4, 6, 8. Oh, I should do this on screen. Making the A interleave master mosaic now.
Cool.
That'll take a little while.
Another robot coming
in. Yes. What's going on? Is there anybody there?
Not yet, but I think they were just coming in.
Okay.
And I didn't want to like pounce on them just as they were getting into work.
Yeah.
And also the coffee machine still doesn't have any milk. Huh?
It's been bad at pressure on them.
Yeah, just, hey man, I need to check out. So I'm just going to wait like 5 more minutes for it to settle in.
I'm going to go do this before I forget. Because if I end up with no coffee cart at the weekend, I'll lose it.
I'm going to follow you down, and then we can both harass at the same time.
Yeah, let's harass simultaneously.
Yes.
Yes.
Be nice to see this ASCAP image with the conjunction of Jupiter and Moon. Just from a pure, you know, fun perspective.
Just for laughs.
Yeah.
Actually, I didn't check if it was the same field.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, it might be.
Oh.
It was in the same observation.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Let me check. Oh, good way.
I'm just cleaning up my scripts that I used to get the limits on the mystery source, you know, the star. Limits on it being a star before I send it off to David. Because there were a few changes and that I made ad hoc and I just didn't, I can't remember what was going on. Excellent coding practice.
Yep. Been there, done that.
Yep. Anyway, it's all good now. So I'll tar that up and send it.
Let's talk of using Git and
rubbish.
Oh, wusses.
Yeah.
No, they're different fields. So it's, they're in the same observation, but
yeah, yeah.
Different fields. Yeah. I thought that would have been a really odd coincidence.
Yeah.
I only noticed it because they all use the same calibrated observation.
Oh, okay.
Get that kind of, wait a minute, haven't I observed this before? The process this before.
What's the tar command to compress a directory? It's tar minus cv fz.
Yeah.
And then tarball name.
Yep. Yeah. And then the path that you want to compress.
Yep.
The US rebrands fossil fuels as molecules of freedom, according to the country's energy department. It's like, what the?
Oh.
Wow. That's nuts. That's absolutely. Rebrand, like, rebrands them? Like, they have a.
They refer, apparently, in some official documents they released, they refer to gas as molecules of freedom.
Oh, that's just. Oh. Beyond concerning.
And the new nickname for natural gas is freedom gas.
Okay. Good. Oh. Yeah, I don't even know what to say.
I know, it's you like just lost,
beyond,
you get lost for words.
Yeah.
The recent election here, it's just,
yep.
Idiots. Oops. Forget about that. doing band pass for that one. There's three band passes for the LMC observation. That's great. At least we've got more to choose from, I guess.
Mm.
Bridge them all together.
Yes, turns out they got a little milk frother there that I didn't know about.
Oh.
So I used that. Now they're going to fill it up anyway.
It's $1.45 billion quarterly loss.
What?
Did they even have anything to lose money on?
Yeah, I know.
Don't they just get money from random drivers?
Yeah. Wait, is that Uber or?
Yeah, Uber.
Yeah.
Uber are leaking money like a sieve.
Yeah.
Their whole business strategy is get a whole bunch of money from people who think they'll make money and then don't make money. Like, I can't see the problem with it. Would anyone like a piece of chocolate? It is picnic themed.
No,
perfect. Contains nuts.
That's fine.
That's fine. Yep.
Thank you very much.
I've never had a picnic themed one before, so I'm like, yeah.
I'm a fan.
You're quite on it.
Phenom. Shocking one. I saw a biscuit today. Bunch of calls on the way home. I haven't snacked all week. I'm so healthy, though. How big an aperture do you reckon I should use for pulling out QU spectra? Beam sized? Bit smaller.
So, what was the question?
I'm pulling out spectra from the Rax stuff. And I'm just doing it programmatically, so I'm not going to eyeball each of them. I'm wondering what aperture size I ought to use. And I'm feeling it should be a little bit bigger than the beam.
For extracting out of the cube.
Yeah.
For a particular source.
Just gonna punch it through like an apple corer.
Are you doing any sort of fit to that? Okay.
I'm just gonna go ahead and assume they're all the same size. I can actually pull out the G and A and B, but I am gonna go for cheap and dirty.
Right. Because if you go too far, you'll reduce your signal to noise a bit.
Yeah, and you could run in the chance of hitting other sources or other components, right, so which will increase your complexity artificially. So maybe I should go smaller than the beam. That'd be safe.
I'd probably just go like 12 arc seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Put master up our units.
Mm.
Thank you. Oh wait, they've got a silly Stokes thing, don't they? Wait, do they? Yes, they do. Oh, do they?
Mm.
They do not. They took them out. Chocolate.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. Right. Go. So you got June to work then? I just realized.
Mm-hmm.
Was it because you ran Bane first and then it worked?
Yeah.
Mm.
I feel the wiki could be a bit clearer on that, if it's going to matter so much.
Yeah. I wonder if Paul realizes that it's... I mean, maybe it's a bug and Paul doesn't realize it because he never uses... He probably always uses Bane first.
Yeah.
I wonder why they're appearing there, the nouns.
Yeah, it's strange. Because I feel like I've run, like, very... One of my early, like, second-year projects was running a gene on MWA mosaics. And like in principle, this is the same sort of thing, right? Like you're just running a gene on a mosaic that has some like weird head shape, right?
I bet you it just doesn't have a nanosum somewhere or something.
Yeah.
Let's have one cheese, shall we?
Hmm?
And have a gander.
It's also possible it's a version that we have on that computer is not quite the latest version. Which has happened before.
Yeah.
Because I sent him a bug report where, you know, when I was running Bane, it was, I have a very small temp partition on that computer, and it was filling up the temp partition with whatever temp stuff it was keeping. I said, can you make it so it's not using that partition? Because it was baked in, you couldn't change
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, yeah, that's already been changed. Right. Maybe upgrade it. And I was like, oh, shit, sorry. That's embarrassing. Yes, I already did that.
I kind of want to add multiprocessing support to Python 3 Aegean, since it doesn't have it, which means I have a Python script, Python 3 script that runs a Python 2 Aegean.
Oh, right, I see.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It looks like one of the more recent updates of Aegean fixed Bane's 2 pass, though, because that was a safe option on my computer.
Right. It's all good.
I've almost done.
The Zoom meeting camera is just going to be like focused on.
Detect carrot eating. Carrot mode enabled. What's up, dog?
Oh no, save text doesn't save 3D things. Whoops. So actually, I realized that I messed up the times for today. I have to start observing at 3:30. I meant to end the day half an hour before I start observing,
okay,
which would be 3 o'clock.
Yep.
But I actually put in here that 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock is the discussion session.
Right.
So I suspect that the observer before me is going to go right up to the end. I'll check that. I think what we could do is... What's that?
Then it happens.
Every last second. In which case, we could do a quick wrap up, you know, from 3 to just before 3:30, and then I'll race downstairs and get going.
Okay.
Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah.
I don't want want to change the time because if people are going to dial in, then they won't know what time it is. So that means we'll be done around 3:30 today.
What on earth does this error mean?
Were we getting another vector observation?
People were thinking of it, but I think it's sort of fallen off it. You know, like, maybe not anymore, since we've confirmed.
Different weighting or something.
Did you do primary bin corruption?
I think I just did it manually.
Yeah.
From what I remember. I mean, I just because we were trying to work out the flux of the source was, oh, sorry, what the noise was at the edge.
Yes, the because I got the coordinates wrong in the schedule file. I realized that 10 minutes before the observation ended.
Right. Classic.
I felt really good after that.
Yes. It happens. I did that during my PhD for reveal the observation.
Oh, no.
Which is even worse because I was like an half minute off.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like reveal the eyes. Like,
no, we're even close.
Lucy was still looking at the beam.
But the processing was fairly standard, right? Like, I just did flagging and flagging and then just.
Yeah, it's pretty bog standard.
Phase cal, I did a few rounds of phase self cal. And ended up with 10 microdeltic RMS.
Yeah, there's nothing.
Yeah.
I think I've mentioned that previously, that the compact array one is pretty out of the ordinary. There was nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, even the ASCAP one was pretty out of the ordinary. Mm-hmm. I mean, pretty ordinary.
Yeah.
The only thing I did a bit different was because we had multiple airbox trying to split up in frequency just so we could get an estimate of the flux, this punch of frequency.
Thank you.
amazing, the difference in efficiency of different nodes on the same cluster.
Mm.
It's like some finished in a few minutes, others are doing exactly the same thing because all it's just doing is processing the same data set for the different beams. And some will take like a few minutes, others have been there for like 30 minutes, it's still going.
I just ran something on the same node twice, and the second time it didn't take 2 minutes, it took zero.
Is it crashed?
No, it worked. You have no faith in my code. Fair enough, neither do I. Alright, I need to for loop. Main takeover from this busy week was learning how to do bash for loops.
Good. Well, you did need to travel interstate to do that, I think.
Yeah, I did. And a whole bunch of polarization stuff.
That's good.
Made a pull request too. I think that's all 2 things. For the end of the day, I do want to ask you about ML polarization things.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, just flagging that now.
And I've got a comeback to a question for you, Andrew.
Mm.
Whenever you're done.
Sure. Yeah.
On Monday, you have an observation, right?
Yes.
Sorry, let me find
June 4th. So, right.
It is...
Yeah, Monday, Tuesday morning, I think.
Oh, yeah, it could be, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's Tuesday morning, 1 a.m. to 8 a.m.
That's it, yeah.
Graveyard shift.
It's pretty rough.
Yeah.
Is this the...
Sebastian's project, yeah.
Tuesday, yeah, 3, 2, 6.
If anyone's going to do it, it's me.
Yes.
Harsh. The question is, so first of all, what frequency is that?
It's the 5 and 9 gigahertz.
Mm-hmm. Block before yours, none of the stamp calibrators are up during that block.
Mm.
And so if you were able to spend 5 minutes on 1934 when it's up high,
yeah,
with that frequency setup, that would be great.
For the previous block.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the trouble is that I think my understanding is when you start your observation, you can't run ACAL at the beginning because it would reset the clock scale. And therefore, you know, the 1934 track would be useless for the previous block.
I see. Yeah.
So if it's okay with you, I'll put you in contact with the person who's doing the block before yours to get that set up.
So 1934 is enough then, I assume.
Is what?
Is enough.
During yours. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, it's just coming up. Coming up. But this is a polarization project, and so we want 1934 to be observed when it's high, so that the bandpass is well-behaved, or well-calibrated.
Makes sense.
Yeah, which means we need to do it during your block, basically.
Yep.
So I think what we can do is, when she starts her block, she could set up your, you know, she can load your frequency setup, do the setup with ACAL, then do her block, and then head over to you, and you won't have to do any setup, you just start, right?
Yeah.
And then just chuck 1934 in when it's up high, if that's okay with you.
Yep.
Okay, I'll send an email to both of you then.
Yep. So I'll just switch to the other schedule file that you send, your setups file that you send to me. And...
Exactly, yep.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yep. And I'll just spend like 15.
What, 5 is probably, let's say 10.
10.
Okay.
Sure. Good with me.
Awesome. All right. Thanks.
Yeah.
Because I think the it's kind of a fair trade off because you won't have to spend setup time, right?
So. Yep. That's fine.
Okay. Sweet. Thank you.
Did you just do the 6 centimeter data? You can do 3 centimeter.
Yeah, I didn't do 3 centimeter. because I figured it would be off the cliff.
Yeah. That's good. Oh. That's fine. I mean, I think even if we had that, probably wouldn't help much.
No.
With the Steve spectrum mix.
Yeah, from what David said, that seems consistent. He said he measured minus 2.6 based on the park's observations.
Oh, okay. Oh, is that what he said? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought he was just...
He said...
should have read that.
Yeah. Going from the ASCAP point to parks, if he did the Flux Cal right, he's getting alpha equals minus
2.6. Oh, cool. Okay.
Which makes sense. It's consistent with the compact array observations.
Gosh, that's steep.
Yeah.
That's nuts. So it must turn over some.
Well, I feel like you measured minus 1.5 in the ASCAP band.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, it's very...
Yeah, it's quite narrow.
Narrow.
And it's sort of faint, so...
I mean, I think it's still reasonably good signal to noise.
Okay.
But, having such a short lever arm to measure it, it's not great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it could be evidence that it's turning over. Because I would have thought if it kept going at that rate, it would be pretty bright at MWA wavelengths.
Mm. Well, yeah, that's what I wanted to... George had wanted to see if it was in POX, the pulsar.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yep.
But Christine also has had a go at reducing, I think, one night with WS clean. So, in principle, it should be, like with the MWA observations of POX one, so it should be in that field.
Yes.
For sure. So, yeah, I'll actually just message him now.
Do you know, Hamel, with a compact array, which calibrator, if 1934 and 08823 are both down, what... I thought so.
Because 1934 is around pretty much 14 hours a day, maybe more than narrow bright.
Yeah.
And the 08 one's just sort of like a temporary measurement.
To fill the R angle gap. Yeah.
So I don't think... It's basically either one or the other, the rules up.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless you have a... No, I don't think that makes sense.
Yeah, so what's the...
Because they're basically...
Eleven hours difference.
Yeah, so it's like... It should always be one or the other.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to send a message that I got then that said that neither of them were up. So she wasn't sure which calibrator to use. But maybe it's just that neither of them are on high. But whatever.
I mean, you only need, depending on, is this like a really short observation with that? Or?
Yeah, it's only a few hours.
There must be some points.
So it begins at
a reasonable.
LST is 1308. That should be fine.
Yeah.
What's the problem? Okay. Ignore me.
So was it them saying that none of them were up, or is it?
Hmm?
Did you think? So was it them saying that none of them were up, or were you thinking that none of them would be up? I wasn't sure which direction it was coming from.
I'm responding to a question where somebody is saying it looks like neither of them will be up during the beginning of my.
Oh, okay.
Blog,
yeah, that's
which I think is now I think is wrong.
Yeah.
The camera will point at you.
It's come down actually.
The rack thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Leon wants us to decide what our way to put it up.
Hmm.
Was it deliberate that was they just sticking to the floor?
I have no idea. So I think at one stage we had moved it to that last week the Astro 3D thing.
I see, they man.
And then she tried to put it back, but maybe
the
CV tag wasn't
particularly. If you're not in the middle of something, actually she wanted us to clear it because some cleaning is going to happen.
I don't understand.
Just
get rid of it. Because it's
not only do we have a laminated.
I'm not sure that's ever going
to happen. Priorities.
That drives home the fact, right?
let me just submit something in a.
Actually, I'm not sure if this is even necessary because the LST range of her observation ends at 1815. So
yeah, that's straight up.
So ignore my question. I think she's just nuts.
Yeah,
okay, this is being recorded. I'll just write back and say I think maybe miscalculated the elevation calculation or something.
Yeah.
He thinks a lot of these sources aren't real sources.
He thinks.
He looks at the Q spectra and sees a whole bunch of noise. Maybe if I take the median instead of the mean. That seems like a good idea. Well, at least some of these look real, which is nice. But they look real nice? I don't know. Really hard to attack the key spectrum.
I need to do a quick phone call. I'll be back in probably 15 minutes or so.
No worries.
rat survey collapsed.
not the actual survey, but
the
rug.
Physical implementation. Yeah. Physical incarnation.
Yeah.
What was I doing?
Someone should make once it's all done, someone should make a sphere.
Yeah.
Just print A4 papers and steel and all that.
How many trees that would involve? I think it is a VR thing would be awesome.
Yeah. Martin made a VR for MWATS, I think. Isn't too hard to put together once you have the images.
Yeah. Oh, even doing the hips thing is pretty easy once you've got the data.
Yeah.
Because I did that with the, actually with that same field. You basically just tell the tool.